Hey, folks from the flight deck, this is your captain speaking. Welcome to the Tailwinds and Sunshine podcast, where we talk everything aviation. I am your host, Manny Ramirez. It's always a pleasure to have you on board. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey, everyone, welcome back to the show. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Happy Monday. Happy Solar Eclipse Monday. If you're going to go out and look at the sun this morning or this afternoon, please make sure you wear eye protection, yeah? Don't pull a Trump and try to look at the freaking sun without any eye protection, okay? I can't believe it. I saw that. I remember that. Anyways, just go out, use some eye protection. I'm in Colorado, so I'm not going to get the full effect here, but I think it's going to be like more than three quarters of the way covered. So we're probably going to get dark here tomorrow. So I'm excited for that. I'm going to be working, but I'm going to definitely be taking a break from teaching and take my students outside or at the very least just look out the window, right? Because I don't have any eye protection myself. I didn't buy any of those special goggles or anything like that. I'll probably do one of those kind of like those boxes where you punch a pin or punch a hole in the box or something like that. Maybe I'll do that, but I'm just excited to see the eclipse kind of getting dark. So that's kind of cool. Anyways, I just did my first trip as a captain a couple days ago. So I'm on reserve. I have a bunch of reserve days in April. I wasn't able to bid for the month because my training was in between the bidding period. So I got called on reserve and they said, hey, we're going to do a repo. Well, they didn't tell me. Actually, let me step back a little bit. So typically they call you to let you know they've added something to your schedule. But this one, I caught it before they called me and I basically self-notified. So I went to our website and I acknowledged the trip. So I saw the trip and it said like Colorado Springs to Chicago. I'm like, I didn't know we flew the 175 to Chicago. So then I didn't see any flight attendants on the trip sheet. So I immediately knew that it was a repo flight. So I called crew support and asked them to verify that in fact it was a repo. Yes, it was a repo. So I drove up to Denver. Unfortunately, because I was down in the Springs when they called me and I was like, oh, I can probably just drive to the airport here. My house is 15 minutes away from Colorado Springs Airport. So I was like, I'll drive there and just pick up the airplane there. But if I did that, I would not have a car to drive down from Denver because they were deadheading us. When they deadheaded us back from the repo, they have to deadhead us back to our base. So I'm like, okay, never mind. Drove up to Denver and I had to be in Denver anyways to teach and PT. So I'm like, okay, well, I might as well drive, leave my car there. So get to the airport. And as I was sitting waiting for our deadhead, they canceled the flight. So I was like, oh, great. Now they're going to have me sit ready reserve at the airport for 8 hours. So I called crew support again and I asked him, hey, did that repo cancel? Or was like, no, we actually changed the destination. Now you're going to repo it to Detroit and we're going to deadhead you. It's going to be a double deadhead. So we're going to basically, you're going to sit in the same plane that you repoed. You're going to sit in the back. We're going to deadhead you to Chicago and from Chicago, we'll fly you back. I'm like, okay. So then finally showed up on my schedule, met up with my FO and we just chatting it up. Then we saw another schedule change and they decided not to deadhead us the same evening. They were going to keep us in Detroit. They were going to give us a hotel and they were going to deadhead us the next morning. I didn't want to do that because there was a wide open Delta flight from Detroit to Denver. And so I non-rev on that one back home and I came back to Denver the night before I had to go to work. That's what I wanted to do. But the repo flights, they're really fun because they're empty. There's no passengers. And this particular repo, we were bringing it from maintenance. So we picked it up at the hangar down in Colorado Springs. SkyWest has a maintenance base in Colorado Springs. It's mostly for CRJ, but every once in a while they do get ERJ, so they service them there. So we picked it up. Airplane was empty. No flight attendants, no passengers. We got lucky because this plane was fully catered. So we had sodas, we had snacks. So it was awesome, right? So we picked up the airplane. And another thing we have to keep in mind when we're doing repo flights is that we're the ones that have to actually arm and disarm the doors. So that way, when they open the doors from the inside, we don't inadvertently deploy a slide. So we have a checklist for that to make sure we arm the doors before we take off, and we disarm the doors when we get to the gate. So that was really cool. We took off, and it was a 2.5, a total time block time was 2 hours and 45 minutes from Colorado Springs to Detroit. And the coolest part about a repo flight is that we can just get up and use the restroom whenever we feel like it. We can go back, grab a snack, do whatever. That you don't do. When we have passengers on board, we have what's called an out-of-flight deck protocol. So we have to call the flight attendants. Then when they're ready, you have to look through the peephole on the door. Then you open the door. You basically exchange places. So you go out of the flight deck, and then the flight attendant jumps in the flight deck, lock the door, and then you go and go about your business. And on top of that, the other flight attendant has to stand guard in front of the galley, in the front galley, to make sure that if anything goes down, they can, you know, knock them with a 1-2 punch, right? But this time we just kept the flight deck door open, and we were just flying along and just enjoying ourselves. You know, I'm going to use the restroom. All right, let me transfer the controls over to you, and then just get up and go to the bathroom, you know. And I took the liberty of using the rear bathroom on our plane, which is bigger than the front one. The front was a little tight, but the back one's like nice. So I used the back one, and we're just cruising. Another thing is that we climbed up all the way to the service ceiling of the Zeppelin, which was 41,000 feet. So we went all the way up to flight level 410. And that particular day, when was it? A couple days ago, there was a cloud layer over Colorado. It was pretty high. It was like in the mid-30s. So it was pretty high. So we were probably one of the few airplanes flying at 41,000 feet. So that was pretty cool. Doing about Mach 0.78. And it was really smooth. So we're doing Mach 0.78 all the way to Detroit. And once we get there, was just going to the gate. It was a simple taxi over there, and we went on our way. Again, I went from one of the terminals there in Detroit, and you have to take a bus to the Delta gates, and then I just jump seated on. Not I didn't jump seat. I listed for the jump seat, but there was plenty of seats open in the Delta flight, and it was a little over three hour flight from Detroit to Denver, and called it a day. So that was really fun. I was really excited that my first trip as a captain was a repo flight. I had a lot of fun. The FO had a lot of fun because he's a relatively new FO, and he's never done a repo flight, and he got to do this. And we had a lot of fun. We had a great conversation in the air. So that was my first. Let me see if I can think of anything else from that repo flight. No, that was it. Yeah. So if you have any questions about repo flights, hit me up. Also, let's see what we're going to talk about here. Yeah, I'm in Colorado, like I said, most of the month. I got reserve. I kind of got boned with some reserve time in April because, as I don't know if I mentioned it before, but because my training was still in progress during the bidding period the month prior in March, I wasn't able to bid. So once I got signed off, then I didn't have anything. So reserve utilization actually goes in and just puts a bunch of reserve days on your schedule. And it's based off on days work, not credit. So I was a little salty about that because I thought I was going to only get about 4 or 5 days of reserve, and they ended up getting like 12. So I've been trying to swap those out with some actual teaching sessions, but you know, they're kind of spare. There's not that many out there right now. But anyways, I'm going to be back on reserve tomorrow. I'm going to have a couple days off, and then I'm back on reserve. And speaking of reserve, oh man, it's embarrassing, but I'm going to just like put it out there. But I got my first SAD at the company, and I'm really bummed out, you know, and it's unfortunate. A SAD stands for a scheduled assignment deviation. So what happened for me to get that? So your boy decided to play around with his phone in focus modes. And I created a new focus just for reserve, right? So my reserve time is from 4 a.m. to 4 p.m. But I'm trying to be slick and I'm like, well, I don't have to be up at 4 if they don't call me. Like, if they don't need me, what's the point of setting an alarm at 4 a.m.? So I'll set it so that at 4 a.m., crew support can call me, the call will come through, and then I'll just wake up when they call me. I'm not a heavy sleeper. I tend to be kind of medium, but definitely if I hear my phone ring, I will wake up and I'll put the volume up. I'll pick up the phone, crew support tells me you have a trip, and I'll get start getting ready. Typical call out for me is about the minimum they can call you is 2 hours, right? So they have to give you 2 hours, a 2 hour call out. And so I had everything ready, my uniform, my bags were packed, my lunch bag was packed, everything was ready to go. So all I had to do was wake up and put on my uniform, you know, get what, and brush my teeth, you know, comb my hair, get it ready, because I already shaved the night before, so I was ready to go. And so I tested this focus mode and I'm like, okay, it worked. I tested it. Okay. And I went to sleep. I'm like, perfect. You know? So I put my phone, go to sleep. Next morning, I wake up. I pick up my phone from my nightstand and I see 3 missed calls from crew support, 2 different emails. And I panicked. I was like, oh my God. So I saw the voicemails and they tried to get a hold of me. It was a 7 a.m. report time. They called me at 4:17 a.m. and then again at 4:25 and again at 4:30. And obviously I didn't hear it. The focus mode never switched. I don't know what happened. It worked before when I tested it, but it didn't work this time. And I was pissed. I was just so mad at myself. So I went up to, I opened the company website, I went to my schedule, and it has a big, fat, red square. It said SAD, Scheduled Assignment Deviation. I was like, man, I was so mad. So the first thing I did is I called my assistant chief, and I called her, and I said, hey, I'm really sorry. My phone didn't ring this morning. You know, I know what caused it. I'm going to fix it. Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen again. And she asked me if I was on reserve or if I just got a SAD. And I said, well, I got a SAD, but it doesn't show anything else on there. And she said, well, okay, call crew support and they'll put you back on reserve for the rest of the day. So I did that. And then after I got back on reserve, I emailed both my assistant chief and my chief pilot, and I explained what happened and that I was back on reserve and I apologized. So that was my first SAD, and I'm really sad about it, pun intended, right? I'm really sad because those things stick around on your record or on your reliability record for 2 years, as opposed to if you call in sick or you call out emergency, that only stays with you for 12 months. The SAD is 24 months. So I'm really sad that I got a SAD. But hey, you got to move on, right? My chief pilot emailed me back. It's like, hey, I'm glad you reached out to us and that you promised you're not, that's not going to happen again. Those are big, you know, a big deal for any airline, right? That you, a no show, they're okay because now they they're okay if you call in sick ahead of schedule or do that. That way crew support can work on someone else. But if you do not answer your phone on reserve, that's a pretty big deal. So, oh well, life goes on, right? Let me see. As I mentioned, I'm currently in Denver doing some training. So I'm in the training department right now. I got just a couple upgrades that I'm working on. 2 students are upgrading, some initial students. And I got a couple days off in the next couple days. And pretty stoked about that. Then go back in reserve. But I swear, the next time, I'm just going to leave my phone on. That's what I'm going to do. Because this repo flight, what happened is, remember I said that they didn't, I actually caught the assignment before they called me. So when I woke up, I panicked a little. I picked up my phone and I looked at my email and I got an email that said schedule change, and my heart just sunk. Like, I was like, oh my God, it happened again, right? So I immediately went to my schedule online, and it said the report time was 11 a.m. and it was like 7 o'clock in the morning when I woke up. So I was like, oh, thank God. I was like, okay, they just hadn't called me yet, but I was so relieved. I was so paranoid that I had gotten another SAD. But nope, it worked out, and that repo flight was amazing. All right. I also got some interviews lined up here in the next couple of weeks, so expect those episodes to come out shortly after that, or probably a week or so after that. So I'm working those episodes. I'm also still working on getting an episode on my upgrade training, kind of give you a little brief about that. So be on the lookout for that. Also, I want to thank all of you that submitted questions to the show. Man, you got some really good questions and suggestions for the show. You got some great stories, so I really do appreciate that. If you want to submit your own question, the form is in the show notes. You can tap on the link and you can submit your questions there. Or if you want to be part of the show, you want to come in and have a conversation with me, or you have someone in mind you'd like to hear on the show. Also, those availability dates are in the show notes, so go ahead and go over there and do that. And while you're there, please submit your review, some comments, some feedback, please do so. I appreciate a 5-star rating. And I do really appreciate your support. I mean, this podcast is growing. It's steadily growing. I love it. So I'm slowly growing this community. I really thank you for that. It's all you. It's all you, right? I mentioned this before. I have no sponsors. I have no marketing skills. Really, it's just word of mouth. So I appreciate it. This is all of your doing. So I really thank you so much. Also, if you want to reach out to me a little bit more informal, you can reach out to me on Instagram. That's how some of you have reached me. It's at ClimbVX. That's C-L-I-M-B as in Bravo, V as in Victor, X-ray. You can reach me there as well. And to mention once again, if you submit a question, make sure you leave your mailing address and I'll send out a postcard to you, or I'll send out a trading card. I still have a stack of trading cards. I do have some getting ready. I am in Denver, so I don't have my postage stamps. I didn't bring them with me. And I have little time to be going out of the airport. I'm pretty busy. But I'll get those for those of you that have asked for either a trading card or postcard. They'll be out in the mail soon, so be on the lookout for that. All right. So the questions that you guys submitted, I think there's a common theme too. I think a lot of you are coming into aviation as your second career. Some of you are military. In fact, the majority are military. And in that category, there's some of them are prior aviators. But there's also a good chunk of you that are not aviators that used to do other jobs in the military. Just like me, I wasn't a pilot in the military, but now I'm a pilot. And I want to talk about that because I want to give you the good, the bad, and the ugly of aviation, right? In the age of social media, we have a lot of aviation influencers out there that put out a lot of content. Obviously, they show you the good. You know, oh, a day in the life of a pilot, and they show you all these great things about being a pilot and the overnights they do and the fun they have in their overnights, right? And they show you only the good. And I want to share my personal story of how and why I wanted to be a pilot, and I want you to compare it to yours, and I want to give you the nitty-gritty and the dirty details of aviation or being a pilot, and see if it kind of, if you still want to be a pilot after you listen to me talk about this, right? So let me start from the beginning. I wanted to be a pilot since I was 7 years old. I remember the airplane and the airline that I flew, that first flew on, and I was just captivated from that moment forward. Right. And typically there's a lot of pilots out there that, and even, you know, air traffic controllers like my friend Patrick, which I had as a guest a few episodes back, and you can go back and listen to that interview. He knew he wanted to be an air traffic controller since he was a kid. By the way, Patrick, hello. Cheers. Greetings from Denver, Colorado. And he wanted to be an air traffic controller, right? I wanted to be a pilot since I was a kid. Now, there's people that, and this is still my second career. The reason why I'm a pilot now is because I went into the military. For me, flight training was out of my reach financially. I started flight training when I was, I believe, 19 years old, and I was paying for everything out of pocket. But then 9/11 happened, and I got disillusioned because there was no one hiring, and I just kind of gave up on my dream because it was just way out of reach. And the military afforded me the opportunity to restart my training and get going. So when I found out that the Army would pay for my flight training, man, I ran to my platoon leader's office to say, "Hey, I'm not going to sign that I'm not going to re-up." And we were getting ready to deploy. So I literally dodged that bullet, right? And so that's why I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be a pilot since I was a kid. So it was like a no-brainer. When I found out that I was going to get my flight training paid for, it was a no-brainer, right? And I went in flight training, and I was done in pilot about 2.5 years or so from the start. Let me see, 17, 18, 19, 20. We'll call it 3 years until I got here to SkyWest. What is your why? What is it that you want to do? Are you doing it because you're seeing all these stories on social media? Are you doing it because we get paid well? Why is it that you're doing it? Because the pay, yes, we are very well compensated for what we do. But there's a lot of factors that you're going to have to use a scale and do a pros and cons list, right? If you're a single guy or gal, you have a lot of flexibility. You don't have a family. Well, I mean, if you count your parents, obviously, but I'm saying kids, more like that, right? You have to have their support, right? As a single person, you're your own person, right? You don't have to answer to your family necessarily. But if you have a spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, then you have to make this decision together because you need their support. I've talked to many pilots that have come through the training department that have struggled through training and even failed validation events because they're so stressed because they got a lot of stuff going on at home. Right, the kids, they missed their recitals, they missed Christmas, they missed holidays, and it puts stress not only on you, but on your family. So your family has to understand that you are going to be gone for months at a time initially, right? When you go initial training, you're going to be gone for 3 months. And then once you're actually flying, you may be away for weeks at a time as well. You may have less time at home. You may have to miss those special events. You may have to reschedule and have Christmas on the 20th of December instead of the 25th. You're no longer going to be able to ring in the new year with your family. You're going to be somewhere in Boise or Chicago. You have to come to terms with that. Is your family going to be able to withstand that? You know, some people are able to be apart from each other longer than others. You know, my boyfriend and I are actually getting used to this whole idea right now. It's a little bit harder for him. I'm more used to being alone. I'm kind of more of a loner. Jan's doing pretty well. But you know, we've gone almost a month without seeing each other. And sometimes I think the minimum we've gone is like 2 weeks, 1.5 to 2 weeks. So that's always the case. I'm here in Colorado, then I spend 2 weeks here, then I go back home, I spend a few days. If I get lucky, I do a whole week. But I'm in a very unique position here also working in the training department. So I'm kind of an unusual case. But as a regular line pilot, expect to be on reserve for some time. Expect to be based where you don't want to be. Expect to commute. Case in point, just right now, we got off a session. I taught a couple captain upgrade students. One guy was based in Boise where he lives. Perfect. But the other guy, he lives in San Francisco, but he's going to be based in Minneapolis. That's a long flight, guys. That's a 3-hour-plus flight from San Francisco to Minneapolis and 4 hours coming back, depending on headwinds. But that's the reality of things. And if you eventually make it to a major airline, you're going to be on reserve even longer. Now, here's the thing. There's been a lot of movement right now, right? Everyone was hiring, but we reached the plateau and we are going to kind of start heading on a kind of towards down. Maybe this is just my prediction. We might have a level off and we might kind of go back up again, but you have to prepare. You expect the best, prepare for the worst. Your family has to be okay with you living somewhere else, getting a crash pad when you're on reserve. That's going to be more expenses, right? You're going to have to pay for a crash pad or possibly an apartment or getting... My sim partner actually got a hotel room because he can't deal with roommates. Same here. I would probably just get a hotel room, but obviously that's going to be a significant expense. But the biggest thing is you have to have the support of your family to be able to do this, because this career move you're about to make is not just for you, it's for your family. So initially, I've talked to people that are very excited about the new opportunity. They're doing it from a position as well. Looks really cool. I think I'm going to try it. And those are the people that are going to be highly disappointed, right? So make sure that you understand your why. And if you really want to put the commitment and possibly even the financial burden you're going to put on yourself if you're paying this out of pocket or taking out loans, because it's going to be a rough one. Training is hard. It can be fun sometimes, but it can be hard. And you're going to be away from home a lot. And some of these overnights, oh man, you're going to be at the bottom of the seniority pile. And you're going to end up in overnights that you don't want to, right? Or you're going to keep going to the same city and the same crappy hotel that you don't like, that doesn't have a microwave in your room. But if that doesn't bother you and you're like, you know what, I don't care, I'm flying airplanes, then good. Then this is for you. Also keep in mind, depending on your age, right, you can pursue your dreams. Whatever. I have friends that are older than I am. They're in their 50s and they reach their dreams. They're flying airplanes for a living. Some people are looking at life through rose-colored glasses, thinking they're going to be able to fly the 777 or the 747 and they're going to be at United within 5 years or something. They have this really kind of morphed image of what they think they're going to be able to achieve. But the reality is that the older you are, you may be limited to some of those options. Now, it is true that there are pilots that are in their 20s and they're already flying wide bodies. I have friends that are now there. They're United flying the 777. Or they're cargo flying heavies. And those are rare cases. But especially right now that we had all this hiring, that happened. But keep in mind that if you're just going to be a pilot because you just want to fly that airplane... And that's it, you're limiting your options. If you tell yourself that you only want to fly for that airline, that you only want to fly for this particular airplane, you're going to be highly disappointed. Because I have friends that their dream was to go to X airline. I have one friend that wanted to fly for Southwest and he didn't end up flying for Southwest. He didn't get hired at Southwest. But now he's a Delta and he's loving it. You have to love it as a whole. You have to love the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I enjoy it. Luckily for me, I'm flying a pretty nice airplane. Do I dream of flying a 777? Hell yeah. But I'm not going to be disappointed if I don't make it there. I'm going to embrace it. Because at the end of the day, I still get to do what I wanted to do as a kid, is I wanted to fly airplanes. Don't center yourself. You can manifest that dream, right? You can still manifest that dream. But understand that if the older you get, your window of opportunity closes. You might get lucky and get in there. Get where you want to go, great. But understand that there are plenty of pilots out there that didn't end up making it to where they thought they were going to be because it was out of their control. Because remember, this is an industry of seniority numbers and the ups and downs. If you get caught in one of those downward spirals, you might be one of those pilots that gets furloughed. And you might be furloughed for a month. Or 3 years. You might be forced to go fly a plane you do not want to fly. Or you might be flying the plane of your dreams and all of a sudden the company says, nope, now we need you to fly this other airplane. So you have to love the industry as a whole. Don't fixate on just one aspect of the career. Also, people ask me, well, I am 55. Should I do it? Go for it, because you will regret it if you don't. Then there's the other people that says, well, I want to fly for this airline, or I live here and my family doesn't want me to relocate, so I want to fly for this airline. Well, you can still do it. You can still reach your dreams, but your options are very limited if that's a specific airline you want to go fly for. There's also GA, right? That's a whole different topic, right? But there's also cargo. There's charter. There's Part 91 flying. So there's other options for you as well. So don't limit yourself just to an airline. Look at those other possibilities. I change my mind every 6 months, so I don't even know what I want. But I'm pretty, all I know is that I'm happy where I'm at right now. And if there's opportunities that present themselves in the future, I will take them. And I like to think very positively, and I like to manifest my own reality. And so far, it's worked out for me. And I encourage you to do the same. But age shouldn't matter. Obviously, if you're close to retirement for the airlines at 65, then maybe not the airline. Maybe the airlines is not a good destination for you. But definitely look at charter. But for all you guys and gals that are trying to use aviation or become a pilot as a second career, just really take a look at yourself and ask your family if this is the right move for you. All right, guys. Thank you so much for spending some time with me. Keep growing. Keep learning. Because good enough to earn a living may not be good enough to survive. Hey, fellow aviation enthusiasts, before I let you go, I'd like to ask you for a huge favor. If you could please go to the platform where you're listening this podcast in and leave a review, some feedback, and some comments. I really do appreciate that. I want to make the Tailwinds and Sunshine podcast your podcast. I also want to give a huge thanks to my friends and coworkers that have shared the podcast with their friends and family. That means the world to me. I really appreciate your support and your subscriptions. If you want to reach out to me, you can email me at mannythecfi@gmail.com, or you can message me directly on Instagram at climbvx. That's C-L-I-M-B as in Bravo, B as in Victor, X-ray. You can reach me there with your suggestions or any feedback. Once again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate the support. And until next episode, I wish you tailwinds and sunshine. See ya. The statements made on the show are my own opinion and do not necessarily reflect those of my employer.